Luke chapter 5, please, in your Bible. Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, we're going to begin reading in verse 1. The Bible says, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were going out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Well, today I'd like to preach on the subject of God being my helper, at thy word. At thy word. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask him to bless the preaching today. Heavenly Father, I'm unworthy and unable to do anything without you. And God, I just want to please you, and I want to be a good servant. And Lord, I humbly ask for your help, knowing that if you don't help me, there'll be nothing here accomplished. God, I need you. This church needs you. Every person in this congregation needs you. I just ask that your presence would be here and real among us today. That the Holy Spirit would open hearts and eyes and ears. And Lord, that you'd be glorified and honored in all that's said and done. We ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ and for his sake. And amen. I'm sure that this was a familiar sight on the shore of Galilee. Men who had been out fishing all night had brought their boats back into the shore and were cleaning their nets. I've looked at this before, not in person, but on television and on the internet. They would take those nets and clean them out, and then they'd lay them out and let them dry and get them ready for the next night. That's what these men were doing. They were preparing for the next evening. And they were tired. They'd been out all night. They had toiled all night, the Bible says. They were tired and they were ready to go home. Have you ever worked all day and you were ready to go home? That's the way these men felt. They were weary and ready to quit. And they had not caught one fish. Been out all night and hadn't caught one fish. Have you ever had a fishing trip like that? You spent all day fishing and you didn't catch one fish. That's not a very good fishing trip, is it? These men had been out and they didn't do any good. The Bible says in verse 5 that Simon said, "Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing." So it was we'd call that a waste. That was a waste, but it wasn't a waste, was it, really? But we would look at that as being a waste. You know, the Christian life is like that in a lot of ways. We sometimes feel that way. We serve God and we do our best and we try to tell people and we invite people, and it just seems like a lot of times nothing comes of it. Seems like a waste sometimes. And as church work, a lot of times, I can tell you as a pastor, I study and pray and preach and try and witness and get tracts and try to help people and try to minister to people. And a lot of times, I have to be honest with you, a lot of times I feel like I've toiled all night and don't have a thing hardly to show for it. It can be that way in the Christian life. It can be that way in church work. And preachers sometimes just quit and go home, don't they? And not only preachers, but other Christians too feel like this is just a waste of my time. It's just a waste of my time. Nobody gets saved. That's why it's good to hear stories like Sister Karen shared with us today. It's good to hear somebody getting saved, isn't it? Nobody gets saved. Nobody gets baptized. No visitors come. And you think, well, after a while, you begin to think, what's the use? What's the use? And I'm sure that's the way these fishermen felt that morning as they were cleaning their nets. And one problem I think we have, especially in the age in which we live, is we want instant results. We live in a day of instant results, don't we? I mean, if you want something, you get it right now. Everything is available to us in a hurry. People don't have any patience. And the problem is that we forget that sometimes in God's economy, one plants and one waters, but God gives the increase. And that doesn't happen instantaneously. It doesn't happen in your garden either, by the way. And it doesn't happen when you're dealing with people. One may plant, one may water, but we're dependent upon God to give the increase. We are only laborers with God. We're co-laborers with Jesus Christ. And like many things in this world, and I know some people don't like to hear this, but this is true. Slow and steady sometimes wins the race. Slow and steady, especially when you're dealing with people. You have to allow God some time to work. One old preacher said, a lot of times we pick green fruit. And you know, sometimes sinners have to ripen a little bit. Many things in this world we can do instantaneously. And I don't know if you use this or not, but that Amazon, you can order something, it'll be on your doorstep in a couple days. You women are shaking your head. I mean, we have instant results a lot of times. And God occasionally does a quick work. He does. Sometimes God will send revival and he'll do a something, things will happen real quick, out of the ordinary. People will get saved. A lot of people will get saved all at once, like in the revivals we've heard about in the past. But I got news for you. By and large, things don't work that way. There's often a dry time in our lives. There's often a dry time in a church's life. And in these times, you will find yourself toiling and working and doing what you always do, and you don't see any results. But you know what? We have to persevere. We have to keep going. We have to keep plowing and planting and watering and trusting God for the increase. See, God is the master of the sea. He filled those nets up, didn't he? He's also the master of men's hearts. And he can do what we can't do. And I'm thankful for that. And in this narrative, we see three things. I only have 3 points. I'm not going to keep you long. That's what Henry VIII told his third wife. I'm not going to keep you long. I'm not going to keep you long. But I got three things I want to look at here. Number one, failure. Number two, faith. And number three, fullness. Failure, faith, and fullness. If you look at verse 5, the Bible says, Simon, that's Simon Peter, answering, said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Peter here is he's sharing with the Lord what a dismal fishing trip this had been. Have you ever took a job and by the time the job was over, this is kind of my newest thing, by the time the job's over, you didn't make money, you lost money? Evelyn's shaking her head back here. Sometimes you get on a business venture and you don't make money, you lose money. And sometimes this fishing trip here, they went out, they expended their time and their effort and spent money and went out and they come back, nothing. Nothing. That's a failure, isn't it? That's a failure. Many times we know that feeling. Many times we know what it is to toil and not have much or maybe no reward. And I'm sure they were disappointed. I'm sure they were disappointed. They probably had high hopes. They probably thought as they boarded the boat that evening to go out, they probably thought, boy, we're going to have a big haul tonight. We're going to do really good out here tonight. Looks like a great night for fishing. And when they didn't have anything, I'm sure they were disappointed. They were disappointed. You know, let me just say that you hunters, if you hunt deer, you've been disappointed. I've never understood. My dad is an avid, his health don't allow him now like he used to, but my dad was an avid deer hunter. I never understood it. He'd drive by two or three deer in the driveway and go out and sit in the cold for 5 hours to shoot a deer. I didn't get that. I still don't get it. I'm too logical for that. I'd just step out the back or front door like Eugene does and shoot him off the back porch and drag him in the house. I saw my dad be disappointed many times. He'd come out, he'd come back from hunting, he'd be cold and wet, and he'd say, I never saw one deer. I don't know where those deer go. They've got a place they go when hunting season starts, and they all hole up there. But he'd come back disappointed and discouraged. I'm sure these fishermen were discouraged and disappointed. But I need to remind you that God holds us responsible for faithfulness and duty and not for the results. God does not hold us responsible for the results. I'm glad for that. God holds us responsible for obedience and for faithfulness. The poet said this, ours is not to reason why, ours is but to do and die. Our job as Christians is not to try to explain all this. Our job is to do what we were told to do, even if it's failure. And let me say that again. A lot of times what we think is failure is not failure. God's just on a different time than we are. He's doing things a different way than we like. Except the Lord build the house, the Bible says, they labor in vain that build it. All of our labor in our own strength will yield feeble results. I'm talking about as a church now. If we don't have the Lord helping us, we won't have good results. This shows our dependency upon God. This shows our dependency upon God. You know, in the church life these days, there's people introducing all kinds of gimmicks and gadgets and doing all kinds of things, trying to draw people into the church. And some of them are good and some of them are bad. And I'm not here to criticize. I'm just telling you the truth. I don't care what you do. If God's not in it, it's not going to go. If God's not in it, it doesn't matter what you do. You can have a three-ring circus here and you won't have anything to speak of. What is lacking is not more gadgets and more gimmicks. What is lacking is the power of God. That's what's lacking. If you would, hold your place there in Luke and turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. I'm not going to ask you to turn very much. We'll go back to Luke, and I think that's all I'm going to ask you to look at. But 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. I want you to notice what Paul said about this church here at Thessalonica. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 2, we'll begin reading there. He said, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, notice this, but in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. So you were in samples to all them that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Paul here said that when he came to this church, these people, it wasn't a church, he came to these people, lost people, heathen people, we'd call them, Gentile people, without God, without hope. He came to these people and he preached the Bible. Well, I preach the Bible every week. There's preachers up and down this road. There's preachers up and down this river preach the Bible every week. But he said, not only did the word come to you, it came to you in power. Power. There's a difference, isn't there? Our churches need the power of God. Paul said, we don't talk this way, but Paul said it, and I think it's right. He said, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. How did he know they were elect? Well, he didn't just take that. There's a lot of folks say they're saved. He went on to tell how he knew they were elect. He went on to say, he said, you became followers of us, number one. He said, you became followers of us. He said that you became an example. You became a witness. He said, we don't even have to preach these people. You've already done it. Not only have you become a follower of us, you've become an example to other people on how to be saved. He also said this. He said, you've turned. You've changed your life. You've turned from idols to serve the living and true God. Salvation is a life-changing experience. If you haven't changed, then I have no reason to think you're saved. Paul said, you've turned. Notice that. He said in verse 9, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. I'm just trying to tell you, these people had evidence of salvation. They had evidence that they were saved folks. Then Paul said this. He said, and now you're waiting for the Lord to come back. You're waiting for God. You're looking for the appearing of Jesus Christ. Christians ought to be looking for the Lord to come back, shouldn't they? These people had a life that showed the Apostle Paul that God had done a work in their heart. We need the power of God. This came from the power of God. What is lacking today, folks? Not just in this church, but in all around us, I see it, is the power of God. I crave the power of God. I desire the power of God. I can sit up here and talk till I'm blue in the face, and it won't accomplish anything if God doesn't help us. We can witness to our neighbors and witness to our friends and tell people about the Lord, but if God doesn't help us, it's not going to do anything. I'm trying to get you to understand that we are dependent upon God. You can toil all night and not catch one fish. I'm telling you, what's better than a degree in theology is to have the power of God. Secondly, we see faith. We see the failure. Thank God it doesn't stay there. We see faith. Verse 5, Peter's honest. You know, Peter, one of the things about Simon Peter is he just says whatever. Sometimes he says stuff he shouldn't say, but he just blurted it out. Lord, we've been at this all night and hadn't caught a stinking thing. And I can just imagine Peter said, we'll do it anyway. Nevertheless, I'm going to do this. I'm not too crazy about it, but I don't know if that's his attitude or not. That'd probably be mine. Nevertheless, verse 5, at thy word. If God tells you to do something, you ought to do it. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. That's faith, isn't it? That's faith. In spite of our failures and our prior attempts, we need to have faith. We need to have faith. Faith is believing in the unseen. Faith is believing in the unseen. The Bible tells us that Moses by faith forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Moses saw God, didn't it? Moses, the Bible says, you say that's Old Testament. Moses saw Christ, the Bible says. Moses saw him who's invisible. Faith is laying hold of Christ. You haven't seen Christ with your physical eyes, but you've seen Christ if you're saved with your spiritual eyes. God has opened your eyes and revealed Christ to you. That's faith. Faith is seeing the invisible. William Carey, some of you may have heard of him. He was a missionary to India, and he was called the father of modern missions. William Carey said, expect great things from God and attempt great things for God. A lot of times we don't have much from God because we don't expect much from God. We don't ask. We ought to pray big. We ought to pray for God to fill this church up. And I've told you, in the book of Ezekiel, I think it's chapter 33, the Bible says that Ezekiel preached to those dry bones. God said, prophesy to those bones. That had to be an odd thing. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says there was a rattling. There's a rattling among the bones. I got to tell you something, folks. I tell you this with a full heart. I tell you this as honest as I can. I think there's a rattling happening here in this church. I think God's getting ready to do something. I think God's getting ready to do something here in this church. And if we don't blow it, I think he will. I feel like God is wanting to do something here. I feel like we need to be conducive to his spirit and obedient to his word. And I think we, like Simon Peter, need to say, well, nevertheless, Lord, we ain't seen nobody hardly saved. I ain't filled the baptismal one since the flood, at least. But if you say so, we'll do it. We'll do it. Faith is acting on what seems impossible. If you think it's possible, that's not faith. Right? If you look at it and say, well, I can do that, is that faith? Faith is acting on the impossible. And let me say this, anything's possible when Jesus is in the boat. Isn't that good? Anything is possible when Jesus is in the boat. Faith is launching out into the deep. Faith is launching out. That's what Jesus told him. He said, launch out into the deep. That's a step of faith, isn't it? The fish are often in the deep water. Did you ever know that? I was working with a fellow the other day. He's tattooed from head to toe. Got a mouth like a sailor. A sailor couldn't hold a candle, this guy. And he said, I got a little boy, he's 2 years old, and he absolutely tore my house up the other day. He said there was junk everywhere, and he was telling me all what all this little two-year-old did, just what typical two-year-olds do. And I said, well, I got news for you. The Bible says that be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And I said, if you've lived a wild life, I got news for you. You're probably going to reap some of this stuff you've done. Well, he he'd had enough of that, and he walked outside and smoked a cigarette. Come back in a few minutes, and he said, he told the other guys working with, he said, you both are preachers, aren't you? And the guys working with gave him another Bible verse. What I'm trying to say is, who knows what God might do? Hey, I got news for you. Jesus Christ came to the world to save sinners. God might take something that I said or that other fellow said and use that to goad that man or prod that man or cut his heart open. Faith is simple trust in God. Faith is simple trust in God. Faith's not trying to figure it out. That's what we like to do. We want to figure it out. What's God doing here? What is this all about? Well, God doesn't want us to analyze. He wants us to obey. He's not interested in our opinions. He told Simon Peter, he said, launch out into the deep. Throw your net overboard. Peter said, all right, we'll do it. Obedience. Saving faith is simple faith. If you're not saved today, saving faith is simple faith, isn't it? It's simple faith. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. That's simple. Simon Peter, when Jesus said that, he said, Master, we've toiled all the night, and I don't even have a mina. I don't have nothing. Don't even have a crawdad. Y'all know what a crawdad is? And people down south eat them. I tried them. I didn't like them. Just a miniature lobster, but they don't taste like lobster. Hey, Simon Peter said, Lord, we're going to do it. That's simple faith, isn't it? Who knows what God might do if we just trust him? Who knows what God might do if we just believe him? Who knows what God might do if we just say, launch out in the deep and we do it? God's able. God's able. I want to tell you today, Peter might have been disappointed in the past, and you might be disappointed in your past. But that doesn't mean we should give up on the future. God's not done yet, is it? Faith is obedience regardless of the circumstances. Let me say that again. Faith is obedience regardless of the circumstances. The circumstances weren't good. Peter was tired. They wanted to go home. And Jesus said, well, let's go fishing. I can sympathize with that. The guy I work with, he shows up about 10 and wants to work till 6 when I've been there since 7. I want to go home. Jesus said, let's go fishing. Faith, the Bible says, Paul said, having done all to stand, stand therefore. Faith is standing regardless. So we see the failure, we see the faith, and then we see the fullness. Verse 6, and when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their nets brake. And they beckoned their partners, which were in the other ship, and they came to help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. Isn't that something? They had so many fish, the boats were going to sink. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly more than we ask or think. Isn't it? If we just obey. God is able to use the most unlikely methods too. God is able to use the most unlikely methods. I mean, they did this last night and nothing happened. They didn't catch one fish last night. I got news for you, though. Jesus is in control of all that. He's in control of all that. And I think it's noteworthy that they didn't say, well, Lord, let us go buy a new boat. We need some new fishing tackle. We need some new equipment. My son Matthew loves to fish. He's got all that equipment. He can tell you how many fish is down below him and where they're at. And he's got all that screens and computers and all that on his boat and all that. But they didn't have any of that. They had Jesus. God is able to use the most unlikely methods. Again, it's tempting for people to say, well, what we need to do is fill in the blank, whatever it is. We need to change our music. We need to get a different kind of Bible. We need to put a big screen up here with a bouncing ball as we sing. And I'm not against technology, and I'm not against modernizing. But, you know, I'm not looking for a new Bible. And I'm not looking to bring in rock music to draw a crowd or whatever. That don't interest me. He just used what they had. He just used an old beat-up boat or whatever they had and some old nets they'd had. I'm just trying to tell you, He doesn't need newfangled methods. It's tempting for us to try to think along those lines. And again, if you want to buy me a screen, if somebody wants to donate a screen, I'll put one up here. And I'll put my text on there and y'all can read it there. I'm not against that. I'm really not. But I'm just trying to tell you, God can use just sitting in the pew and me reading this Bible up here. Well, he did it for a long time, hadn't he? Hello. He did it for a long time. I'm old-fashioned, I admit it. I like the old-time ways. But I'm not against modern technology, and some of you young people know more about it than I do. You're welcome to help me. I'm all for it. I'm just only trying to tell you that what we need is not new methods. We need God. We need God. Churches today have just about everything except the power of God. Think about this. Samson slew an entire army with the jawbone of an ass. I love that verse. Heaps upon heaps with a jawbone of an ass. That always makes me think of myself. Heaps upon heaps. I'm going to preach on one of these days. I'm working on the outline. Heaps upon heaps. Is that because Samson was such a great fella? No, it's because he had God on his side. He had God on his side. C.H. Spurgeon didn't go to Bible college, but God used him awful much. I take comfort in that because I didn't get to go to Bible college. But I know that God could use me if he decided to. We see here the fullness. When God gets involved, things happen, doesn't it? The fullness. God is able to use the most unlikely methods, and God is able to use the most unlikely people. God is able to... The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, "For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of this world, of the world, to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty." I was just sitting here thinking, you know, we sung a song today by a little old Fanny Crosby. Think about how many times Christians have sung her hymns. Think about in this world today how many Christians have picked up this hymn book and sung a song that Fanny Crosby wrote. A little old blind lady. A weak, poor little blind lady. And God used her to help turn the world upside down. God is able to use the most unusual methods and the most unusual people. He's able. When God bears his arm, even people that seem to be failures, he's able to use them. Acts chapter 2 and verse 47 says, "The Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." I want to tell you today that God can fill the net. God can fill the net. We need to say, like Peter did, "At thy word." At thy word. Lynn, you said something the other day is music to my ears. You know what it was? We need more tracks. We need more tracks. I love it. I'm glad you guys are handing out tracks or passing out tracks or mailing tracks or whatever you're doing with them. That's what we need to do. We need to witness. When Jesus says, launch out into the deep, that's what we need to do. We need to do. We need to launch out into the deep and cast our nets. You look at people and they'll say, you might look at the, like that fellow I told you about, I don't look at it this way, but you might look at it, and I have looked at people sometimes this way. I might think they'll never get saved. Well, you don't know that, and I don't know that. God's able to save anybody, isn't it? You can't ever get so low that God can't save you. He's able to save. So that person that you're thinking about that you say will never get saved, don't think that way. Don't think that way. Because we don't know, do we? You don't know. In conclusion, I just wanted to give you just three things to think about. Number one, all of our labor and all of our toil is in vain if Christ doesn't help us. We need help of God. That's why we pray. Listen, I almost was tempted to kind of scold you this morning, but I don't want to scold you, but I want to encourage you. And I don't want you to raise your hand, but did any of you ever pray for me this morning? You need to pray for me. You need to pray for the service. You need to pray. You need to pray that God would do a work here in the church. We need to pray. So, what I'm trying to tell you is, everything we do, if we don't have God helping us, it won't mean much, will it? It won't mean much. Secondly, when we pray for people and invite people and witness to people, we need to forget about our failures and think about what God can do. A lot of times you might think, well, I invited so-and-so and they never came. Well, just invite somebody else. Or I asked so-and-so to come to church and they were rude to me. Well, ask somebody else. Maybe they won't be rude to you. Launch out into the deep. We've toiled all night, God, haven't caught a thing. I've witnessed all kinds of people. I haven't seen anybody saved. Jesus said, do it again. One of these times you're going to be shocked, aren't you? One of these times you're going to see somebody actually respond. It'd be worth it then, won't it? It'd be worth it then, wouldn't it, Sister Karen? It'd be worth it then. And then thirdly, let us remember this. God can do the impossible. God can do the impossible. And that's what really it comes down to. We need to understand that we can't do it, but God can. We're dependent upon Him. Everything we do, everything we do here. I'm talking about in the spiritual realm. We're dependent upon God. And the minute we think we're doing it, we're in trouble, aren't we? We're in trouble. And I want you to know you're looking at one preacher who needs God. And I hate to tell you this, and I don't want to hurt your feelings, but you need Him too. You need Him too. So look, don't get discouraged. Keep plugging. Keep fishing. Keep trying. God's able, isn't He? God's able. Pray. Pray, ask God to help you to say the right thing and do the right thing and witness to people and talk to people and invite people. Keep doing it. Keep doing it. And God will give the increase. He'll give the increase. Y'all believe that? I believe that. Stand with me, please.